So many little details and stories under the surface that over the 10 years have come out. And with more on that, our next guest joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline is Don Van Natta Jr. Don, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me, guys. How you doing today?
We're great. We're reliving the decision. Of course, you were reliving the decision a lot as you, you're the executive producer and host of ESPN's Backstory on LeBron deciding to go to the Miami Heat. Before we get into the, you know, all the work that you put into this, take us back to 10 years ago and your, you know, kind of perspective of that day and the television spectacle that it became for LeBron James to make a decision to go to South Beach.
Well, at the time, guys, I was at the New York Times. I hadn't been hired by ESPN until 2012. So I was a reporter at the New York Times, living in New Jersey at the time, watched it at home. Was really intrigued by how ESPN was going to thread the needle of having their insiders not scoop LeBron and the show. Because remember, you know, LeBron went and visited and considered six teams, and I just was intrigued as a reporter, like, how is ESPN going to pull this off, and how is LeBron going to pull it off? What's the arrangements that went into this very unique show? And then, of course, when the show started, it was so slow and difficult to watch, and LeBron was clearly uncomfortable and awkward, and it almost appeared to me then that he didn't even want to be there. Like, he was almost having second thoughts as Jim Gray was taking him through those 23 questions. So fast forward about 8 years later, I'm at ESPN. I've been given this great opportunity to host a show called Backstory that goes back in time to sports scandals, sports stories of the past. We decide to do the decision. All the questions I had that night watching, I was able to ask all the people at ESPN, all the people around LeBron on background, all the questions I had, and hopefully we answered all of them for viewers of Backstory.
All right, so Don, I was wondering aloud two things. One, did anyone in LeBron's camp wonder out loud, like, is this a good idea? Because it didn't come off as well as I'm sure they were hoping. Did anyone prior to the decision say, you know what, maybe let's just do this a little bit more normally?
That's a great question. So this idea was really embraced by Maverick Carter, LeBron James's childhood friend and his longtime business partner. It was really Maverick Carter who was the producer of this hour of television. There were a couple of people in LeBron's inner circle who initially liked the idea months earlier, but then soured on the idea in the days leading up to it. One of the guys is Leon Rose. That was LeBron's agent at the time, as well as Worldwide West, who was an advisor to LeBron. Both of those guys in the days leading up to it said, it's probably not a good idea, LeBron, for you to sit in a chair on national television and turn your back on your hometown in this way. They saw the backlash, and yet Maverick Carter and LeBron went through with it despite that advice that they got from two very invaluable members of their inner circle.
Don, how did the league react to the decision to make the decision and make it such a big television spectacle of I guess at the time he was their biggest superstar deciding to go to another team?
So NBA commissioner at the time, David Stern, the longtime commissioner, the late David Stern, when he heard about this, he was furious and called up John Skipper, who at the time was the head of content for ESPN, the number two executive at the network who greenlit the show. And Stern begged Skipper and ESPN to cancel the show in the days leading up to it. And I interviewed Skipper on camera for our Backstory episode. And I asked Skipper what Stern's problem was, and Skipper was very blunt about it. He said the player would have too much control. Stern did not want to set the precedent, even if it was the most popular, biggest superstar in the NBA, did not want to set the precedent to allow that player to announce a free agency decision live on national television. Too much control would be given to a player. And Stern didn't want that. Now, remarkably, ESPN discarded that advice of the commissioner of the NBA, one of their business partners, and went through with the show anyway.
And then, speaking of control, you talked about the 23 questions, Maverick Carter, the executive producer. How did LeBron James keep the insiders from scooping where he was going? Because it was a genuine surprise. People really didn't seem to know where he was going to pick.
They didn't seem to know, but one of the interesting things, and we delve into it a little bit in the episode, is that Chris Broussard, who was an NBA insider for ESPN, he reported just a few minutes before it was thrown to Jim Gray, the host, that he had been hearing from his sources it was most likely Miami. There was a reporter for Newsday who reported that he had sources saying that likely LeBron was going to go to the Miami Heat. So that was really what some people suspected it being, but the camp, the LeBron camp itself, kept it very tight. They did not let any teams know, including the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavaliers didn't find out until LeBron was actually in the chair just a minute or two before LeBron announced it to everybody. So they were able to keep it very tight, although there was certainly a lot of suspicions that he was going to go to Miami, because Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, the day before Bosh announced he was leaving the Raptors and was going to sign with the Heat, and it was, as you guys probably remember, and it was always suspected that those three guys were going to get together because they were friends, they were very good friends, and they played together on the Olympics team in 2008 and the World Championships team in 2006. And so a lot of people around the league very much suspected that that's what was going to end up happening, though nobody knew for sure.
Don Van Natta Jr. from ESPN joining us on Overdrive. And Don, the late David Stern did not get his wish. The decision happened. It gave power to LeBron James. And 10 years later, players have never had as much power as they have. Can we almost look back at this date and say, in a way, this kind of began the empowerment of players in sports, but especially in this league?
Absolutely. That's one of the most interesting parts of the legacy of the decision, and one of the most interesting parts of our episode, is we really draw a through line from that night to where we are 10 years later. And it really was a big moment for player empowerment. As Stern feared, this was going to have a domino effect with other players making big moves, and even making moves without the benefit of free agency, as we saw with Anthony Davis and Jimmy Butler and other players. You know, it's not even time for them to make a free agency move, and they switch teams. The building of super teams is obviously a trend that we've seen in the last few years in the NBA. And it also is a big bang moment, as we call it in the show, for athletes taking control of their own narratives, of their own storytelling. LeBron now has two media and production companies, Spring Hill Entertainment and Uninterrupted, that he started in 2013 and 2014 with Maverick Carter. LeBron is the executive producer of multiple shows, Shut Up and Dribble, More Than an Athlete, The Shop, Uninterrupted. He sells them to multiple networks. They're moving into the documentary space, and they just got a $100 million investment for storytelling with Black voices just in the last 10 days or so. So all of this, I think you can draw back to that night. It was an awkward night. It was a really rough trial run that first night, but a lot of stuff was going on behind the scenes that we're now seeing with LeBron Inc. and with other players in the NBA.
Yeah, Don, I find it fascinating with LeBron and kind of marking it as a point of delineation where he maybe felt more comfortable taking more control, asserting his own voice, his own power, which he had, and especially because the reaction was so negative towards the decision and from Cleveland. Do you think it not only shaped his business interests, but just kind of how he decided to live his life and the strength of his own voice post-decision because of the fallout from the show?
I do. So the reaction was so visceral. Remember, guys, the next night, LeBron did that pep rally at the American Airlines Arena in Miami with D. Wade and Chris Bosh, where he said, not one, not two, not three, not four, not five championships. That really turned him into a villain with many fans around the NBA. I mean, those two events were sort of bookends to that whole first season when LeBron was playing for the Heat and they lost on their home floor to the Dallas Mavericks in the NBA Finals. LeBron really was a villain, and he sort of embraced that role, but reluctantly. But in that summer after that first season with Miami, he sort of decided, okay, I can't have rabbit ears. I can't listen to all this criticism. I just have to focus on what I'm going to do. And absolutely, not only did they win two straight titles after that for the Heat, the big three, but also LeBron absolutely got very much more comfortable with his own voice, talking about social issues and matters of race. And I believe he's the most outspoken American athlete and possibly the most, arguably the most influential. Certainly can make an argument between LeBron and Colin Kaepernick right now of who's the most influential, but certainly I believe he's up there with Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, and as a journalist and the body of work that you have over your career, it must be so fascinating because you look back at, you know, the all the work that you did before ESPN, and you've written about so many big political leaders and scandals and elections. And we have moved away from athletes having to stick to sports. And you just look at the climate today, and you just pointed out LeBron James and his voice. You know, how important is it that sports and athletes have this voice and are you know, just being noticed for what they're doing on the court or on the grass or on the ice?
It's extremely important. And certainly in this moment right now, after the George Floyd killing, but even before that, and LeBron was a trailblazer for having that voice, going, you know, all the way back to Eric Garner and Trayvon Martin, and you know, he was putting things out on social media, saying things in a very bold way 6, 7, 8 years ago. You know, he isn't just coming to this now, which is you know, I think he's given the confidence of a lot of his fellow athletes to get into that space and be more outspoken because of how long he's been doing it and how bold and how loud his voice has been for all this time.
Do you think when you went back and asked the people, especially LeBron's group, maybe not ESPN so much because I'm sure it was well received and it's a famous show, but any regrets? Would they do it again if they could do it a decade later? Would they say that was a good decision, or would they have chosen not to do it at all?
Well, that's a great question. That's one, quite frankly, guys, that I wanted to ask LeBron James or Maverick Carter or Rich Paul. Did not get the opportunity to speak with them. You know, on that More Than an Athlete show, I mentioned to you guys 2 years ago, they sat around on couches and discussed the decision. There was no journalist asking questions. Mm-hmm. They just talked about it amongst themselves, and we have a clip in the show from that. But I think 3 months after the show, I know LeBron did express some regrets, in a kind of muted way, not in a fulsome way. But I know that Maverick Carter now, with the benefit of everything that's happened over the last decade, looks back at it. And yes, it was terrible for his best friend's reputation, his Q rating plunged and everything else. Mm-hmm. But it was a sort of rite of passage that I think Maverick Carter now looks at as necessary to take them to where they are today.
If it led them to where they are and they're in a good spot and never been more successful, more powerful, more socially conscious, all the rest of it, you know, maybe it's part of their journey they could chalk it up to.
I think so. I really do believe that's where they are, having talked to people around them for this episode. But to answer your question, would they do it again? You know, maybe not. You know, again, I think they look at it as something that was necessary to do, but they would probably find a different way to do it. Certainly LeBron would be better prepared. There was all sorts of things. The devil's always in the details of these things, and certainly they would have done some things differently if they had to do it again.
ESPN Backstory is a fascinating series. It gets aired here in Canada on TSN. What are you working on right now, Don?
So the next episode that we have quite a few interviews already done on, and we're hoping to premiere it this fall, is on the Manti Te'o catfishing scandal.
Wow.
And, you know, that one, that working title is too good to check. And we are, we're very excited about it. I think we're going to be telling folks a lot of new information about that scandal. And we're hoping to have that ready for folks this fall.
It's almost remarkable that he's had just a nice, quiet career in a way, isn't it?
It is. Like after this. He has had a quiet career, you know, maybe too quiet when you consider he was the runner-up for the Heisman Trophy to Johnny Manziel, you know, on that great Notre Dame team. But yes, and the question now is whether his career is over. He did sign with the New Orleans Saints last November. I don't think he played a single snap, and now there's questions about whether he's going to continue this fall in the NFL and sign with any team. I think he's a free agent. But yes, he has had a pretty quiet career considering how great his collegiate career was.
Yeah, well, that will be definitely
both are good to watch. Yes,
very good. That was a good tease, Don. We really appreciate you coming on talking about the decision. That episode was great, and that is a day that we will always remember. And as you pointed out, will change the NBA and has changed the NBA, and certainly players' power, and led by the biggest name in basketball at the moment, LeBron James. We appreciate this.
Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate the time.
Don Van Natta Jr. from ESPN's Backstory. He was the executive producer and host of that episode on The Decision.